powerful Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, implicated in this federal indictment involving ComEd and the criminal charges against ComEd. They're agreeing to cooperate and explain who was doing what, when, and everything that was going on. And I'm reading through some of the complaint here, the federal indictment.
Can I give you one more?
Go ahead.
There are reports that Madigan's office was served with a federal grand jury subpoena today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another reason why you don't want to be public official A.
Don't want to be public official A. I'd say, and we're going to ask Pat Brady about this in just a second, but I'd say A is the wrong one to be. At one point, a Madigan official warns, "I would say to you, don't put anything in writing. All it can do is hurt you." Another says, "We had to hire these guys because Madigan came to us. It's just that simple." A consultant allegedly said payments were made to keep Madigan happy. "I think it's worth it because you'd hear otherwise." Goes on and on, kind of detailing all the ways ComEd and the lobbyists were interfacing with Mike Madigan and jobs, and some jobs people didn't really have to show up for, it turns out, and money was exchanging hands and all kinds of other stuff. Let me just go to the phone real quick, and then we'll go to Pat Brady. Brian, go ahead. You're on WGN. Your thoughts on this? What's going on?
Are you going to me?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian. What's up?
Yeah, just curious why no one has brought up Lisa Madigan's name. You know, the period of time apparently it was 2011 to 2019, I believe it, you know, that during that she was the head law official of the state. She should have either known this was going on and apparently did nothing about it, or she should have, done some investigating.
Yeah, I think she liked, thank you, Brian, for the call. I think she always liked to remain independent from her father, as hard as that was to try to accomplish. I know she's not in this indictment. You can say that there is some responsibility there. It feels as if Mike Madigan knew how the game worked and has always known how the game works here. And that's why it seemed as if lots of other folks were implicated in the years past, and it never seemed like he was swept up in anything. And that's why so many of us doubted that he ever would. I wonder how Pat Brady feels about this, former federal prosecutor, former chair of the Illinois Republican Party. Pat, how the heck are you today? You ever thought you'd see this kind of thing happen?
No, I just read the facts that are attached to this deferment agreement that ComEd entered into, and it all points to the speaker. It's Mike McLean, his number one guy down there. If you know how Springfield works, yeah, he was the gatekeeper. He sat in the office. He ate dinner with him. And the interesting thing about reading all this, and I go down there a lot, and I'm familiar with how it works. The reason it rings so true to me is, yeah, this is exactly how it works. You curry favor with the speaker by helping out his political folks, and that's what this is all about, hiring people that helped him get elected, hiring vendors that helped him, putting people on board spots that helped him. And, you know, that's where Illinois, it's kind of the rub of Illinois corruption.
But, you know, this is nothing. Anybody who's been awake in Illinois politics or been a citizen of Illinois for any period of time now kind of knows that this sort of thing was going on. And yet it seemed as if Mike Madigan, you know, he played the game and he was the master of knowing how to play it. The fact that he was implicated in this way, do you expect, Pat Brady, as a former federal prosecutor, that we will see more criminal charges and that potentially even he may be charged at some point?
Yeah, you think about it. ComEd, the company itself, pled guilty today, and they were going to get this deferred prosecution agreement. Not pled guilty. They entered into a deferred prosecution agreement. So they're fully cooperating. They're turning everything over. But that doesn't mean the people that were named in the statement of facts, the former CEO, the former lobbyists, and the others are cooperating. So I would say, yeah, I think they're going to be, and I've talked to people that are close to this, and the feds are saying there are going to be more indictments, but if you read what's in that statement of facts, it's clear to me who the target is, and it's clear to me now that they have evidence through wiretaps or overhears of people saying, yeah, this is what the speaker wanted me to do, hire these guys or do this thing, which I think is probably close enough to get indicted.
Hey, Pat, it's Bertrand. So there's reports, too, that the speaker's office has been served with a subpoena today, that they waited until this agreement was unveiled and then the subpoenas came. What does that tell you?
It's an ongoing, and I believe that the U.S. Attorney John Lausch described it as vibrant investigation. And in the way investigations work at this level, you do go up the chain. And ComEd is a big fish, but the biggest fish here is the speaker. And it's clear that that's where they're moving. And now it's nothing that anybody hasn't known for the last year about where this investigation is going. But it's pretty narrowly focused on ComEd and the speaker and the two big pieces of legislation and how to curry favor with the speaker. So it's a pretty tight, it's not a big RICO broad brush on the Democratic Party or on the speaker. It's pretty narrowly focused investigation.
Hey, Pat, so one of the things we've all come to know about Mike Madigan is that he never put things in writing. As we saw a little bit there in the indictment, he doesn't use email. He famously has like a flip phone or one of those old school phones so that he knows that things that he says, things that he does, you're not going to get much of a paper trail or otherwise on him. Does that limit the ability of prosecutors here, or do you think, based on what you've read in this indictment, that there's enough meat there that they'll be going in that direction?
I think there's enough meat there, and you're right. What he does, and he's smart about it, to not do the things that you just mentioned. But in this statement of facts, they do have, and I think it was a result of a wiretap, Mike McClain saying things that he was directed by letter A, to do these things. That, to me, is close enough. There are cases, there's direct evidence where somebody makes a statement or you get an eyewitness to a crime, and there's circumstantial evidence. And circumstantial evidence is just as good as direct evidence, and federal prosecutors convict people all the time on circumstantial evidence. And I think right now, just reading this, they are well on their way to building a pretty strong circumstantial case around these facts.
Pat, can you hang on a second? I want to go to the phones for a second. Just take a question. You may be able to help answer this. I'm not sure, but let's hear from Paul. Paul, go ahead. You're on WGN. What's up?
Hi, good afternoon. The question that I have is that Tom Edison was fined $220 million. Is that going to come from the stockholders, or is that going to be $220 for each of the million customers that Commonwealth Edison has?
That's a great question.
Yeah, you know, it's in the agreement, and the U.S. attorney said at the press conference, that cannot come from the public. That's got to come from the company. He made it very clear. In fact, he was asked a couple times about that.
All right.
So ratepayers aren't going to get stuck with it.
Thank you, Paul. Hey, Pat, that was the other thing I wanted to ask you about, too, because, okay, so they pay this $200 million fine. It seems like it could have been worse for ComEd.
And yeah, it could have been up to $450 million.
And that they're avoiding criminal charges, or do they still get criminally charged as part of this?
An information's been filed, which is the same thing as an indictment, and it's been filed with the court. That sits there pending the judge's approval for 3 years. If ComEd does everything they're supposed to do, fully cooperate, don't lie, pay the fine, everything that's in that agreement, then they'll call it a deferred prosecution. That matter is dismissed.
But didn't
they won't have a criminal.
Didn't they just pass a big rate hike as part of this whole thing? Isn't that part of what they're linking this to, a vote on certain issues, a big rate hike for ComEd that they would profit from substantially over the period of years? How does that gel with this fine, and does that get opened up now again? What happens there?
Well, that legislation, I would imagine, is going to be subject to review by somebody, because there's going to be some screaming and yelling, I know, on the Republican side about that. But that's what that was tied to. But there's two big pieces of legislation that the alleged briberies were tied to, that and then the Jobs Act legislation from a couple of years ago relating to renewable energy. So, yeah, that's what it's tied to. And I imagine the political side of this, there's going to be a lot of talk about those two pieces of legislation going forward.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Steve, are you trying to jump in here?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, Pat, you know, they're running around on Twitter, sort of, they're pointing out, and Anna, that this is a bribery case, and ComEd is paying $200 million to make it go away, which almost sounds like the same sort of thing in a more official capacity. But so the money goes to the federal government and then would be split up among local agencies? Or what happens to federal fines like this?
You know, it goes to the Treasury. I think it even says in the indictment it goes to the federal Treasury. I'm not exactly sure where it goes. Sometimes forfeiture funds go different places, but I'm not sure exactly where it ends up.
Yeah.
And I know you and I aren't getting it, but it's going somewhere.
That's for sure. But I mean, that's
probably
kind of
Anna. Anna gets it.
I'll raise my hand. I mean, look, I've covered a lot of this corruption stuff, but I just never thought, you know, I just never thought it would come to this day. And I don't know. It's hard to underestimate what this means, I think, in some ways, because hasn't there sort of been this culture of corruption? Would you agree with me that you sort of all looked around and said, hey, the most powerful people in the state were responsible for perpetuating it, and that they all kind of knew kind of how to get away with stuff, and now is this a day of reckoning?
Not quite yet, but it's getting close. As close as it's been since I've been around. This is a pretty powerful statement in the facts that we were talking about before. So this might be the beginning of the end. Interestingly enough, Governor Pritzker was just asked about it, and he even said, hey, if these facts are proven to be true, then the speaker maybe needs to step down. And the political side of this, watch what the Democrats do. As soon as the Democrats start running away from them, that's the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Or you wonder, will they ask for a resignation? Will there be some kind of, do you expect that kind of thing to happen? Maybe not today, but in days or weeks to come.
You know, these things usually get a lot of publicity and they settle down and we kind of forget about it for a while. But in this case, the speaker's actually up. Every 2 years, he's reelected by the members of the Illinois House to be speaker. And I think that's when he'll win his seat again. And that's when you're really going to see if the Democrats are going to do anything about it.
Isn't there some sort of ethics reform that they were considering in Springfield? I don't know where the status of that was. I was sort of laughing about it before because I didn't think it would go anywhere. But is that something that, tell us where it is and what would be something you think will come back and be front and center again in the wake of this?
Yeah, you'd think, but ironically, the speaker put out a statement yesterday mocking the Republicans for calling for ethics reform and pointing it towards President Trump and his problems. So, yeah, there's got to be. But I wish I could say it's going to happen, but I've been watching this for decades, and it never does. Nothing meaningful. But there's too much money floating around in politics, and they got to figure out a way to make it so money doesn't have so much influence. But this right here is just a flat-out old-school scam. You hire my buddies, let's, put it under these other names so nobody knows you're doing it, to the tune of $1 million, hire my vendors, put my people on the board, and then I'll do you favors. Now, that's another part about this case. They're still going to have to prove up that the speaker was actually influenced by these favors, and that's going to be the big thing. Did he actually have the state of mind to be influenced and actually do something?
Yeah. If you were still the chair of the Illinois Republican Party, what would you be doing right now?
I'd be thinking to myself after reading Mike McClain's emails, did we really lose this badly to these guys for so many years? Because he's an absolute moron.
Oh.
I'm scratching my head why we lost so many.
Jeez. Yeah, and then I saw the funding that Republicans versus Democrats have in the state. There was some kind of a story about it in Politico today in the state of Illinois.
It's like 23 to, and we actually... And back in the old days when I was there, $3 million by us was a lot, and Speak would raise $8 or $9 million, which is a lot, but
yeah.
Now he's got $23 million.
And I think the Republicans have won or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that Durkin and Bill Brady have more than that, but The point is it's just a massive amount of money, and it's not good.
Yeah.
You don't give because you're just a good person. You want some influence, and you got to straighten that out, I think.
Yep. Fair point. Thank you, Pat. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
All right, guys. See ya.